Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, and today we're going to be talking with Lori Parham. She is the Maine State Director of the AARP. We had her on earlier in the year. We talked about hiring over 50. I think we're going to get an update on that. Lori, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back on.
Wow, what a year. Can you believe it's been a year?
I can't believe it's been a year.
It's crazy.
I don't know where it went.
We never, ever do. Really, that's the reality of it. It just disappears. And yet there's still 60 seconds in a minute.
I know.
60 minutes in an hour, right? But they still continue to go what seems faster every single day.
They really do.
Well, you know, the AARP has done a lot of things over the last, especially 6 months during the election period here in the state of Maine, and I'm sure nationally they've done a lot of things. Can you give us like a little update of what's happening out there right now for the organization?
Sure. So you're right. We were very involved in voter engagement during the election. AARP doesn't endorse candidates, but we were on the road for almost 6 weeks talking to our members and people over 50 about the issues that matter to them. There is a lot of concern out there about the economy and where things stand, and so it was very good to connect to people. And now that the election is behind us, that's when we like to say our work really begins. We're putting together our legislative agenda for 2015 and looking forward to the work ahead. But yes, it's been for the fall, I think we were all in election mode. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it was needed to be, right? It is what it is. But
right.
What are some of the initiatives that AARP has really helped with its members this year, looking at, you know, looking at what has happened in 2014?
Well, that's a great question, and we've really been involved on a lot of levels. We worked, even though it feels like many years ago, back in earlier in the year in Augusta, we were involved on a range of issues on everything from long-term care to putting protections in place for people who might be going through foreclosure, so kind of a lot of those economic security issues. We've spent a lot of time talking to employers, and we were at the HR convention. It was the first time we'd been at the convention, and the Maine convention is such a wonderful event, so many people, and it was great to have the chance to talk to folks about issues impacting workers over 50. A large number of our members are still working. They're not all retired. And frankly, people over 50 in Maine are a critical part of our workforce.
Well, so it's a huge part of the workforce here. I mean, really, that's probably the largest growing area in Maine from a population standpoint, without question.
It is. And so one of the things that we've talked with folks about is how we balance. We talk a lot about the need to recruit younger people to Maine, and I would agree with that. But how do we look at building a multi-generational Maine from an economic perspective in terms of workforce, in terms of community, in terms of what we want Maine to be going forward? So it's been great to be part of those conversations, talking with the chambers and with HR professionals and also with our members. For people 50 to 64, they are the largest growing age group of entrepreneurs across the country, and we know Maine is a small business state. So what are the resources that are out there for our small business owners or for people who want to start a business?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing because obviously people don't necessarily think about, you know, that final career as being an entrepreneurial moment. But it really is when you think about it, because you can do what you want. You probably have better income at that point to be able to sustain a small business. And so it is something that people need to think about. And that is a career move for some that want to either go in to work for themselves, maybe, right, a consultancy or something in that area, or maybe to take on the challenge of even a small business at that time.
And that's what we're finding. For some, they haven't had a choice but to make a change because of changes in their jobs. There are still folks who are looking for work post-Great Recession. But for others, it's an opportunity to move on to what they're really passionate about and to start small and to see what the possibilities are. And I've found over the last couple of years, as I've gotten to know more and more folks who provide support in this area, that Maine has a lot of resources available for people who are looking to start a small business, whether it's through SCORE or the Small Business Administration or CEI. And the governor's account executives that he has now regionally, there really are great resources in Maine for people who are looking to do their, you know, looking to what's next and to try something different.
Well, you know, you're talking about something that is important for people to understand. There are resources out there. How does AARP connect those resources? How does somebody walk into the office, call AARP and say, hi, I'm interested in doing this. How can you help?
Well, so we have traditionally used Encore Entrepreneur Month as a great opportunity to partner with others like the SBA, like the governor's account reps, to raise awareness during that month and to hold events that bring people to the table who are interested in starting a business or who have started a business but could use more help or more information. And then we try really through all of our channels to make sure those messages continue throughout the year. We have great online resources through a site we launched with LinkedIn called Work Reimagined, where you can join online communities and get advice from others who are in the similar position you are. And you can also, if what you're looking for is a traditional job, you can actually connect to employers who have made a commitment to hire people over 50. And so there really are, a lot of folks don't understand that, you know, we're just AARP, we're not the American Association of Retired Persons, because a large number of our members have chosen to keep working or don't have a choice and are continuing to work. And so we really have reinvigorated our resources over the last couple of years, not only to focus on retirement, but to focus on work and retirement.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important that people understand that it's changed. The dynamic has changed. And older folk that are coming out, and we're talking about over 50, right? That's typically the demographic we're talking about here.
Right.
They still have a lot to give, and the life expectancy is longer. They are in the workforce longer. Even though we have, according to the national numbers, about 10,000 people retiring a day, that's the average in terms of the numbers, a lot of them are still going back to work, or they still want to work.
Well, they do. Many folks we talk to enjoy working. They enjoy contributing. And we think that's great. You know, so often you hear folks talk about greedy geezers and, oh, you know, we've got this huge tsunami that's coming. Well, we really are hoping to change the nature of the conversation here in Maine to show that people over 50 are a great resource, and they have a lot to give, and that's why we see the multi-generational workforce is so important, because of the skills that people over 50 do bring to the table. And so, you know, how do we change the debate, the conversation, to recognize what these folks bring? And then, frankly, how do we make sure we tap into that talent as we look over the next 10 years, and you know, how Maine will be changing because of its demographics.
We're talking with Lori Parham, the Maine State Director of the AARP. We're talking about hiring over 50. I'll call it phase two, because we had the conversation just a little while ago last year. You know, one of the things that I hear from individuals who are thinking about retiring is that they didn't give it a lot of thought till it's suddenly there, right? Suddenly, oh my gosh, I am going to retire. And a lot of people aren't necessarily ready to do that. As you said, then they can't leave the workforce. How do you deal with that situation? How does the organization help individuals with that? Because it really is a situation for many that's a crisis.
Well, you're so right. And if only we could, if we could figure out, or if I could figure out how to convince people to start planning earlier, then I could retire earlier.
I think we all could at that point, right? No question.
Whether it's retirement, whether it's their retirement, financial security, or even thinking about long-term care and their needs, folks don't like to think about it until they absolutely have to, which is a problem. And we know that for years, the boomers had a negative savings rate. People haven't been putting money away. And then for others, for our older members who did everything right, but then had invested and put money away, you know, if they didn't make too many changes, what they lost during the Great Recession is starting to come back, but there's a lot of uncertainty in the market. So what we really try to do is give folks the tools to start to think about retirement. We've got a great online retirement calculator, for example, similar to what some companies offer through their retirement plans. And so that you can start to look at what you're going to need to retire, especially given life expectancy and changes in longevity. A lot of folks don't know that in order to really be in a decent place over the course of your retirement years, you should have saved just for your health care costs $250,000. Well, there are a lot of folks who don't have that kind of money in the bank. And so we, on the front end, try to be very proactive in encouraging people to save, to put whatever they can away, to be making smart decisions. And we get a lot of folks who ask us, when should I claim Social Security? Should I claim early? Should I claim late so that I get, you know, the most out of my benefits? And so what we try to do is provide information that help people make informed decisions. And if you actually go out to our website, aarp.org/money, we have great resources.
Well, you know, that's an important aspect to start with, because you got to know where you got to start, right at the beginning.
Right.
Where do you start in these situations? And whenever I talk to financial people, they always say the same thing, is if that's the foundation. If you can't retire, if you can't enjoy your retirement, and some people, by the way, enjoying retirement is staying at work.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no question they have another family they've created there. They like being there. They enjoy it. So it's not a bad thing to say, hey, I'm not going to leave work, but I'm still going to retire.
Well, exactly. And some folks look, and this is why we talk to a lot of companies about either phased retirement or moving from full-time to part-time work, where you really can continue to be in the workforce, feel like you're being productive, continue to pay in, put money away. But then you can also be a great mentor to folks who are coming up behind you. And so we really encourage HR professionals to look at the kinds of workplace policies that do encourage that phased retirement or that part-time work, that give people flexible options as they grow older. And then, you know, if you throw in some of the issues, for example, around caregiving and the fact that we've got many more people who are working and caring for an aging parent, you know, what can we do to ensure some supports for these folks who, through their unpaid caregiving, they're doing a lot to in essence, to help the economy. So we're going to see more and more of that as the boomers continue to get older.
Yeah, there's no question that there's two parts of this. There's the aging boomer themselves, and then there's the support system behind that. The son, the daughter, the, you know, the support person, whoever that might be, that has to maybe take time to deal with situations that happen due to aging, or have to be the support, or have to deal with crisis around Alzheimer's, dementia, other things that happen. And that does put a stress on people at work.
It does. And, you know, as a manager, I see it with my employees who are in caregiving situations. And how do you give people the support they need, especially if you've been a caregiver yourself, you understand the stresses. But how do you make sure that you can continue to operate and deliver what you need to deliver? And so these will be dilemmas, I think, that we see that we're going to have to address more and more over the next 5 to 10 years. And we're looking at the kinds of policies that that help workplaces do what they need to do in terms of the bottom line, in terms of delivering, but also ensure some support for caregivers at the same time.
We're talking with Lori Parham. She's the Maine State Director of the AARP. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having a great conversation with Lori Parham. She is the Maine State Director of the AARP. We're talking about hiring over 50, part two. That's because we had a great discussion with her, beginning of the year, right, Lori? I think we had in terms of this. And I got to tell you, it was a good discussion then, and it's going to be a great discussion today.
Yeah, like we said, it's hard to believe a year has gone by.
It's unbelievable. I was just, you know, it really is. It's just Christmas is coming right up here. Boom! It's almost here. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, in the last segment, we were talking about some of the challenges, right? The issues having to do with an older workforce, the issues having to do with sons, daughters taking care of parents needing time off, or caregivers needing to take time off. Doesn't have to be necessarily sons or daughters. Can be anyone as a caregiver taking care of an older person. What are some of the policies? What are some of the processes that you at the AARP are looking at to help with these types of situations?
Well, first and foremost, I mentioned the value of folks who provide unpaid care. We're talking about family members and loved ones who often care for an aging parent or for a spouse. And here in Maine, annually, there are over 200,000 people who are providing care. And we actually did a study called Valuing the Invaluable and looked at what that unpaid care does in terms of supporting the state. And we're talking about $2.3 billion worth of unpaid care. So that's not reliance on the government for help, which is great. But how do we make sure that for folks who are still working, that there are things in place that help them? So we're very much a proponent of workplace flexibility. Does someone have to be in the office 8 to 5 or 9 to 5? Some jobs you just have to be. But are there opportunities for someone to work from home, for example, a couple days a week so that they can get a parent to the doctor's office or be there if someone needs to watch that parent and trade off with other siblings? We've also, in some states, we've worked on a tax credit for caregivers. For those making $50,000 a year or less, you know, building in a tax credit to help people who are doing this unpaid care get a little relief at home. One of the other issues we find, especially for women, they often leave the workforce to care for aging parents, and predominantly it is women. And so those are years that they're not paying into the Social Security system, that they're not paying into their own personal retirement accounts. So do we need to look at a system that gives folks, caregivers, who leave the workforce some credits towards their Social Security or some other option, again, some sort of tax relief that helps them since they are providing this unpaid care and really providing great support? So those are just some of the issues that we're looking at.
Do you see any legislation on the horizon, either federally or maybe at the state level, that addresses some of these issues coming up here in 2015?
We are hoping to work on some of these issues in Augusta this coming year. We actually have legislation called the CARE Act that is less on the workforce side and more on ensuring that hospitals give caregivers the information they need to care for a loved one when someone is discharged. And we also hope to start the conversations around the workforce piece. Federally, it's going to be interesting to see what our Congress can get done. Long-term care will continue to be a growing issue. We're fortunate to have Senator Collins in a leadership position on the Aging Committee, and we're really hoping to see a bipartisan caucus around long-term care and caregiving come to the forefront so that we can address these issues, we can be proactive about them, and we can really continue to sustain a robust workforce, but also recognize the needs that folks are going to have as they're caring for their parents.
No, that's great. I mean, we've got to start somewhere, right? There has to be a dialogue about it. Tell me what you're hearing from employers on this issue. What are some of the stress points that employers are talking about and how your organization can help them in these challenges?
Well, Well, I am hearing from a lot of folks that it's hard to find qualified people to take jobs in Maine. And so what is the disconnect? What do we need to be doing to connect people to the jobs that are available? For some employers get it. They understand the value of people over 50. But I've talked to, I had a volunteer who moved to Connecticut because he could not find work in IT in Maine, and he was convinced it was his age. So we continue to try to show the data and the research, one, that a multi-generational workforce is good for business, and two, that people over 50 are good for business. They have a lot of knowledge, they show up, they're reliable, they're good for the workplace. But then it's also getting people connected. And so we have worked to get local employers in Maine to sign our petition saying that they will bring on people over 50, because then we can connect people to those places they know are open to hiring people over 50, if they're qualified, if they have the right skill set. And then also looking at, one area where there's a lot of concern is around, because of our aging population, direct care workers who are paid to provide care to our parents, and making sure that they, one of the issues we have right now is that folks don't want to do this work in Maine because they're paid so little. And so how can we look at ensuring that the folks who are caring for our parents make a living wage, and that the jobs are competitive? I know this is a real issue up in Aroostook County, that there's a real need for home care, but no one wants to do the jobs. And so we're going to have to look more broadly at some of these workforce issues. And I'm excited to be connected to the chambers, the statewide chamber and the local. We're actually a member of a number of the chambers, and also folks like the Maine Development Foundation, who are really looking at broad workforce solutions. So we're happy to be at the table on these issues.
No, that's great. You know, you said about this working, this living wage, right? So, I mean, this issue comes up politically, all this stuff having to do with minimum wage and living wage. What's the AARP's position on that?
We have not taken a position on the minimum wage. And we typically, even on issues around reimbursements for nursing homes, don't get into the reimbursement side. But we are seeing specifically around these positions in Maine, really the lack of individuals who are willing to do the work. And so how do we make sure, and it's always, you kind of scratch your head when you think about the folks who we rely on to care for our parents. These are folks who we should be investing in, especially because these numbers are going to grow. But broadly on the minimum wage, we haven't taken a position.
Okay. So, you're talking about a living wage. Is there data that is supported that would say that, hey, a living wage is X? Or do you use federal data? How do you come up with that type of number?
Well, I think you'll see lots of different opinions on what is a living wage, depending on who you talk to, what side of the aisle they're on. But as you think about the cost, the day-to-day pocketbook monthly cost that an individual has in terms of rent or mortgage, what it costs to get to and from work, if you're driving a car, especially as we look at Aroostook County and how far flung it is, and the length of time it can take to get to work and what you spend on gas, whether or not you have children in your household. What is it going to take to make sure that you can cover your costs and potentially put a little money away? But, you will find very mixed opinions on what a living wage is, what goes in to figuring a wage, what should be included, what shouldn't. We like to talk about the cost of living adjustment, for example, with Social Security, that everyone, that beneficiaries get every year. Well, it doesn't really take into account the health care costs and some of the other long-term care costs that people face as they get older. So, again, it's depending on what economist you talk to, you're going to get a different answer on that question. But at the moment, we are not paying, and maybe the better term is competitive, we aren't paying competitive salaries to folks who typically care for older people.
When we're looking at individuals, and by the way, we're talking with Lori Parham. She's the director of the AARP up here in the great state of Maine. And we're talking about working or living over 50 and having still a job and working along and making productive life, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here today, making it work. What are some of the things the AARP does today that you could give as resources for people to go to? What are some of the sites? What are some of the things that they could go to look at jobs and all the different things that are out there from the AARP?
Well, I think one of the best sites we have is our Work Reimagined site. This is the site that we launched with LinkedIn 2 years ago, and it is Work Reimagined, all together, one word, .org. And here you can apply for jobs online, connecting specifically to employers who say they value people over 50 in the workforce. You can join online communities to share experience or get questions answered. For example, if you're trying to start a small business, you can get help on a resume and how to get better involved in social media and kind of the way folks are applying for jobs, how that is changing. So you can kind of learn the latest in terms of job searches and what you need to know and what you need to look for. So it's a great resource for folks who are looking for work. And then also aarp.org/start-a-business is a great place for folks who are looking to start a business or have started a business but could use some additional information to help them navigate what it is they're trying to do. And through that site, you'll also be connected to the Small Business Administration and some of their great resources. And I've met some of the governor's account execs who work in Maine, who are very energetic folks and seem to be very helpful in the different regions and helping people connect to local resources. So again, I think it's really nice that there's so many folks who are looking at these issues and really trying to give people the support they need to go it on their own.
No, it really is something that I think is important for individuals to know there are these resources. And LinkedIn's a big deal. I mean, you guys have certainly connected with one of the most powerful job searching platforms out there today, without question.
And we're finding, especially for our older members who traditionally weren't using these kinds of tech tools for job searches, that it can be a real change. And I know it's taken me a while to get my LinkedIn profile up, and I know I need to make it better. So, you know, what are the resources that we can give to people to help them get, you know, learn how to navigate kind of the new world order when it comes to looking for work? And LinkedIn has been a great partner, and we've seen real success with the site and real interest. And so we're just continuing to try to build it out and also include more employers who really have a commitment to the 50-plus workforce. And I, right here in Maine, Volk Packaging, Derek Volk with Volk Packaging, I had the opportunity to be on a radio show with him, and he talked about the people that their employees who are over 50, and he signed the pledge. So we're getting some momentum in Maine. We hope to be at the HR convention again in 2015 and continue to connect to people and share information.
Well, that is a great convention, and of course, you, as well as your organization, as well as the New England Law Publishers, who does that convention, are great sponsors of the HR Power, and we appreciate both, and we're looking forward to another great year of that. And I think that convention, believe it or not, is the fourth largest in the country. So it is a place where people go who really want to learn about helping, getting people employed. And, I mean, that's what it's all about, helping HR professionals learn how to better recruit and knowledge for them to be able to find out what it is and why older workers are still very valuable to the organization.
Absolutely. And I found, as a manager and an employer, too, it's such a great convention, wonderful sessions, topics, great resources all the way around. And so it was exciting to be a part of it, and I look forward to being part of it again.
Do you see that there is a disconnect at all between human resources and what they believe and what they should believe about older workers?
That's such a great question. I think it depends. As we see a generational shift within HR, I think we'll see changes in views and approach to policy. But we like to say, it is really time to get with the times. The workforce world is changing. And, the boomers will age out and things will balance out. But their children are the millennials, and the millennial numbers are just about the same. So, how do we become, as HR professionals, more nimble in terms of hiring, in terms of workforce policies for all of our employees, but especially as we see folks who are starting to transition out of the workforce? And I think this go-around with the boomers will give us a lot of lessons as we look to their children who will be coming years behind them in retirement.
Yeah, I know a lot of people aren't talking about the fact that, once the boomers come through, there is that smaller group, the Xers. So there is going to be an interesting shift as we go from a very large group to a very small group, and then back right again to a very large group when the next group comes through in the next 60, 80 years.
Right, right. And so, again, the importance of the need for flexibility and being able to adapt to growth and to decline and what that looks like. And so I think companies that learn to adapt to that are going to be better off and are going to be the ones that survive.
No, you're absolutely right. So we're talking with Lori Parham. She is the director of the AARP here for the state of Maine. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional.
Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having a great discussion with Lori Parham. She is the director of the AARP here in the state of Maine, and she is a good friend. How are you, Lori? Doing well?
I am doing well.
Good, good, good. Hey, you know, it's interesting. As we look at some of the realistic challenges that HR professionals deal with, we talked a little bit about it in the last segment, of some of the realities that HR people have in their minds of their mindsets, right? Of things that, and you said, you know, some have to get on board. Well, the reality is that there are times where aging professionals, as nature has it, have issues, have concerns, have things that happen either from a physical or mental situation where they are just not necessarily up to the same challenge. Sometimes in manufacturing, they can't do what they used to be able to do. It's not because they don't want to. It's just the physical challenges of the job change. Some employers deal with this by even allowing them to have an accommodation for something, or sometimes they can't. How do you work with employers to discuss these realistic challenges when things are happening in a adult life that they can't control?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, it is really tough because there's this kind of fine balance between some of the assumptions that can be made around about people as they get older and the fact that there may be a time when some folks just aren't able to do the job. And a lot of it can depend on the type of job. Is it a job where you've really got kind of hard labor, where you're on your feet and you're really using your body versus a desk job, although the latest research says that sitting is the new smoking. So, but there really is this gray area for employers in terms of how to manage through some of this, and it also can be very tough for employees because age discrimination is very hard to prove, and with some changes through the Supreme Court, a lot of the burden of proof now really is on the employee. So how do you find that balance? And, you know, that's why we've really worked to be proactive, working with organizations like the Society for Human Resource Management to really start to look at some of these issues. You know, first and foremost, recognizing, really largely based on research, the value of older workers and what they have to bring to the table. Doing a strategic workforce analysis and really getting a sense of what the workforce looks like and what the needs are. And we actually have a workforce assessment that we offer in partnership with SHRM to employers to look at, you know, what is the talent that you currently have? What are your needs going to be? And if you have folks who are aging out of the workforce, is there a role for them even part-time as a mentor, for example, or as a coach? Is there a role for them in that way? Would it be helpful to be able to telecommute or job share as part of a phased retirement so that you can continue to get the value from the individual but start to transition them on a time frame that makes sense? And so those are some of the issues that we're looking at and that we talk to HR professionals about as they look at some of the workforce challenges they face.
So does the AARP work with employers to try to say, hey, some training, some development, how do they connect that dot?
So what we've done, where we've seen, we try to showcase companies that have been successful, and then also there are a couple great employment research institutes, one out of Boston. And so we also try to show the research that will help employers look at and kind of make the decisions they need to make based on fact. We really have started to connect to folks to look at models where the multi-generational approach has worked, and then try to connect employers to other companies that have been successful in that way. But there's a long way to go. There's still a lot of work to be done, and we'll start to see, I think, more and more in terms of the challenges as more and more boomers begin to turn 65, as folks are working longer. You know, what is that going to look like? And again, how do we make sure that there's this continuum, that there isn't just a cutoff, that all of a sudden you hit a certain age and you're devalued? You're considered a part of an aging class at 40. I never would have thought that when I turned 40.
That's true, huh?
That's kind of scary to think about. But really making sure that best-in-class skill-building resources oriented specifically to the needs of 50-plus are in place. We launched a new program called AARP Tech. It's technology education and knowledge. We're providing work-related technology education to folks who may be a little far behind. You know, they know how to use the Excel, but they're not used to some of the online tools. We saw that even internally at AARP, where as the world has moved more and more to social media, you had folks who just weren't used to those kinds of tools. And what does it take to get folks on board in a changing a work environment? And being willing to invest in the resources that are needed to make sure that your workforce is up to speed.
You know, one of the things we found very effective, and I'd be interested to see if the AARP is either doing this or is thinking about doing this, is when we do a mentoring between the baby boomers and Gen Y, and, you know, that young older combination where the younger worker needs the experience, the understanding of the culture, the connection to how to speak to in a professional manner. I mean, let's be real, they text more than they actually talk. And to really understand how it is to make those connections and learn about how a business actually runs. On the flip side, the older generation typically needs some tech savviness. And what do they typically do when something happens? They call for a younger worker to come fix their computer, help with their tablet, do different things, and can learn new ways of doing things if they are open-minded. So this mentoring between what we call the Gen Y and the baby boom generation, not to say that Gen X isn't part of that, it is, but the reality is from a size perspective, it fits better. We're really seeing a growth model between the two that helps both parties. Has that been something that has been considered, something you've seen happening? And if not, I would think it's something that you should look at.
Well, it's happening right here in my office, I have to say. I'm 41, but I consider myself pretty technologically savvy, but I hired someone with great IT, tech, social media skills, and it's been really interesting learn to communicate with someone in a different way, who's used to texting, who's used to communicating through social media. And so especially when you've got staff who come across, who range or span the generations, bringing people together in terms of how you work together and communicate with each other is also really interesting. And so learning how to adapt, sharing expertise in both directions, and really, as a manager, fostering a collaborative environment, recognizing that everyone brings very different skills to the table and that they all have a role to play in getting the work done and delivering on our agenda. But yes, we're seeing it internally to AARP. We have a real longevity for staff across the organization, and we're bringing on younger staff too. So getting folks together, giving people an opportunity to learn internally, I think has helped us think about how we provide resources to individuals and to employers externally as well.
Now, you know, as I said, we are just seeing programs like this starting to pop up across the, you know, the country, because they are really effective in trying to get that knowledge, which employers, if you talk to CEOs, as I know you do, one of the main things you hear is this overview of a disconnect in terms of the younger worker. They just don't, quote unquote, get it. Like, they're not necessarily as polished as they should be coming out of school. They're not as connected as they should be. And they really like connecting it with the older worker who already has that knowledge, already has that base, already has that information. And they find that it's a really good partnership, and that typically we're seeing Gen Y is pretty open to having that dialogue in terms of being and learning about the organization, because, of course, what do they want? They want instant gratification. They want to move up faster, and people can see, you know, they can see that as a means to an end.
No question at all. I think it's really important, and again, this is the time to get ahead of some of this stuff, and so companies will do well to have HR professionals on board who are innovative in terms of how they're thinking about the staff, and frankly, leadership at the top of companies who aren't just looking at the day-to-day bottom line, especially on the for-profit side, but looking 5-10 years down the road and how they develop a team and a workforce that can learn from each other, that can grow a company based on current needs. But I think that connection and the interconnection is so important. And it's been, as I said, interesting for me as a manager to see the different things that people bring to the table, the different approach to work, whether it's, it's not for us. Our jobs aren't just 9-to-5, but it's connecting with people at night and on weekends, especially for those who are still working. And so we see the flexibility that we've had to have as our membership has changed, as more of our members are working and how we connect with them. We see it with our staff. And so I think it's been we've become a good validator on some of these issues externally with employers as they start to see what we're facing.
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, one of the other things that comes up in regards to an aging workforce is misconceptions, right? Misconceptions about what people can and cannot do. And we deal with that, certainly when we're dealing with HR consulting, and coaching people and individuals. Sometimes it's their lack of willingness to try something new. Sometimes it's just because they don't believe they can do it. We're talking about the individual. But in fact, we do end up finding that most of the time they do have the propensity to still do a lot of work when they're older. And as you said, just because they're getting older doesn't mean they can't be mentally focused or sharp enough to still do the work.
Well, that's true. And I like to say that you can find folks who aren't productive at any age, and you can find folks who are very productive at any age. And, it's one of the challenges I face running an organization called AARP is we continually fight perceptions of aging and what it means to be old. And I think HR professionals have to be very careful about this as they think about hiring and as they think about the workforce they have. And, all evidence at this point shows a positive results for companies who are willing to look at a multi-generational workforce, who aren't just hiring 20 and 30-year-olds. But it's an uphill battle, as I do the work I do, not only on the employment side but more broadly, to get people to understand that when you turn 50, life is not over. But especially nowadays, it's just the beginning. And when you look at the statistics on Encore entrepreneurs in that 50 to 64-year-old age group and what people are taking on at that point in their lives, that's why we continue to kind of beat the drum of people over 50 and what they have to offer.
Well, as someone who has just become that, I agree 100%. And we're talking with Lori Barm. She's the Maine State Director of the AARP. We're talking about hiring over 50, part two. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com, and we are back talking about the aging workforce. And we're talking with Lori Barm. She's the Maine State Director of the AARP. We're talking about hiring after 50, part two. That's what we're talking about, part two. And, you know, one of the things, Lori, that you had mentioned, it was your partnership with SHRM. And I know that you had looked at some data in 2014 about a workforce study or an aging study. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The SHRM Foundation actually has an aging workforce initiative, and they released data from their 2014 Older Workers Survey. And this is a survey of SHRM members, and so from across the organization. And the results were striking. I just thought I'd share some of what they found, that over two-thirds of those who responded to the survey consider the potential loss of older worker talent over the coming 6 to 10 years. As very problematic. And so this is something that HR professionals are starting to look at. They really do, although they don't see it as a crisis, they definitely see a problem or potential problem and something that they need to be prepared for. And just over a third of SHRM respondents had conducted a strategic workforce planning analysis to look at the organization and the exodus of older workers. And so clearly it points to a need for companies to be looking at that kind of strategic workforce analysis, to be projecting out what their numbers are going to be. I thought I'd share the top steps taken to retain or recruit older workers.
That would be great.
Yeah, that came out of the SHRM survey. 48% have offered reduced hours or part-time positions to older workers. 40% have hired retired employees as consultants or temporary workers to provide mentorship and coaching. 30% have created or redesigned positions that allow for bridge employment. And 30% have offered phased or gradual retirement. So folks are starting to look at these issues in the HR world. There's clearly more work to be done, but we're definitely starting to see these issues addressed. And the fact that the foundation has an aging workforce initiative, I think, says a lot.
I think it does. I think, you know, some of those are just some basic things that, right, should be looked at from all employers' perspective, to help employees, and not only aging, but throughout. This flexibility thing is probably one of the biggest things that really helps employees, period, right? It allows work still to get done, and a more engaged workforce is a better workforce. That's just the facts.
Well, right, and a flexible policy for a caregiver caring for an aging parent could also be beneficial to a young parent raising young children. So some of these policies, to your point, really do cross generations and are just good workplace policy as you look at changes in the work environment.
No, you're absolutely right. Lori, tell me a couple of, the sites that people can go to as we get ready to wrap up the show here today, where they can go to find information for the AARP and how they can help in regards to an aging workforce.
So we do offer resources both to employees and to employers because we think this is an issue that both sides need to be looking at. We do have an employer resource center with information and tips and tools for employers working to build an organization that values people over 50, and that is at aarp.org/employers. I mentioned our Work Reimagined site, workreimagined.org, that is great for employees and for individuals who might be looking for work. And we also do workforce profiles at the state level that provide employers with data about older workers. And it's a great resource. We update those numbers on a regular basis. And those also can be found at aarp.org/workforce profiles.
That's great. And we're talking with Lori Parham. She's the director of the AARP here in the great state of Maine. Lori, if someone wants to get a hold of you directly, how do they do that?
They can get a hold of me at me@aarp.org. It's the Maine AARP email. They can also, if they have a question, call 207-776-6304, and we'd be happy to share information or get folks connected to the right resources.
Lori, it's been a great conversation as always. We appreciate you being on the show today and really enjoy having your organization as a sponsor of the HR Power Hour, and we are looking forward to another conversation early next year. How's that?
That sounds great, and thanks so much for the opportunity to be on.
No, it's a pleasure. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to HR Daily Advisor, .blr.com, there's an article titled, Drinking on the Job Won't Get You Fired from This Company. With the holidays right around the corner, many people may be looking forward to their holiday parties at work as an opportunity to have a few beers and mingle with their coworkers. But one ad agency in Minnesota is taking a little bit different approach. They're doing a unique incentive to get their employees to submit their timesheets. That's right. When an employee submits their timesheet, he or she will be rewarded with a 1 pint of beer from the Tap Saver, which is a revolutionary high-tech beer cart that comes with an RFID card scanner and a touchscreen iPad so you can select the beer option electronically. Providing alcohol for your employees also gives them a chance to bond and socialize with their coworkers, says the company. These social opportunities can help boost company morale. However, as your tip for the week, employers should always be cautious in this area. It's not called liquid courage for nothing. Alcohol at work can lead to loosely inhibited or clouded judgment, sexual harassment, workplace discrimination, not to mention workplace injuries and other potential sources of legal trouble. If your company does decide to reward its employees with alcohol, it's best to limit their consumption so your company is not at risk. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Don McPherson will return from Modern Survey. He's going to talk about the new survey results that just came out for the Fall 2014 State of Engagement Report. And then Bud Bernstein from MaineHR.com will be talking about the 2015 HR events. Yes, it's already here. 2015. Learn why you should go and how great they're going to be. Thank you for listening and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.